Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
This is Matt Miller, and I'm filling in for Chris Wilde, and I'm glad that Ed Marks is here with me for a very practical and enjoyable radio program. Welcome back, Ed.
Well, Matt, it's good to be back, and I think this program is going to be a great help to our listeners. This is actually the concluding program on the reality of the New Testament Jubilee, spoken of in Leviticus, like you said, where we have Christ as our real freedom and our real liberty.
Ed, today is actually the last of our programs. We've had 4 previously. This is the 5th program on the Jubilee, which is the central point probably in the entire Gospel of Luke. And prior to this, we've covered the matter of incarnation. And then after this, we're going to cover the matter of resurrection and ascension. But today, I'm really anticipating a concluding word on this matter of the Jubilee, like you mentioned. We've seen it objectively, the facts of it, and we've also seen subjectively how we can enter into the enjoyment of the Jubilee. I mentioned in one of the earlier programs that on the Liberty Bell, they actually inscribed in 1751, when that bell was commissioned to be made in London, the verse, Leviticus 25:10, and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof. And I feel we're here today entering into what the real liberty is, the real freedom. Could you give a little background, Ed, to this matter before we get into the actual life study?
Yes, Matt. Of course, what we're talking about here is the real meaning of liberty in the biblical sense. In Leviticus 25, it talks about the Jubilee. The Jubilee is the 50th year. And in that 50th year, every Israelite, if he had sold his possessions, his land, he was returned to his lost possession. And if he had come under some kind of slavery, he became a slave to someone. He was freed from slavery. Well, the New Testament reality of this is that when we open our being to receive Christ, he becomes our possession. We're returned to our lost possession of Christ. Christ wants us to possess him. And then we need to be freed from the slavery and bondage of Satan into the real liberty and enjoyment of Christ. You know, Matt, I would just like to conclude with this in this introduction. In Luke 4, it's quite phenomenal because the Lord Jesus, he's there in Nazareth. He goes into the synagogue, and then he opens the scroll from Isaiah where he proclaims the reality of the New Testament Jubilee. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away and release those who are oppressed." And then he said, this is what it is to proclaim the Jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord. And the point here, Matt, is this. You know, we have to proclaim the gospel to the poor. People just aren't poor materially. They're poor in spiritual things. They're poor in the real riches, which is Christ himself. People are captives under Satan's bondage. They need to be released. People are blind. They're not just blind physically, they're blind spiritually. They don't see God's intention, God's purpose. They don't see how Christ is so marvelous and can be everything to them. And people are oppressed. They're oppressed in sickness. They're oppressed in sin. They're oppressed in suffering and anxiety. And they need to be released by Christ from that oppression. This is the reality of the New Testament Jubilee. And we'll see this further from Brother Lee's sharing.
Ed, in our first section today with Witness Lee, we're going to talk about 2 practical examples of enjoying the Lord as the Jubilee in the New Testament. The first one is with the prodigal son and the feast he enjoyed from his loving father in Luke 15. And the second one is in 1 Corinthians 5:8 about keeping the feast. I'm going to read that verse. "So then, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Let's join Witness Lee for today's life study.
Jubilee, I tell you, should be our Christian life. A Christian life is one that is full of liberty, freedom, and release, and full of rest, full of enjoyment, full of satisfaction. Let me tell you. Number one, you have the prodigal son coming back to the Father. To eat what? To eat Christ, the fatted calf. To drink what? To drink the life-giving spirit. Then 1 Corinthians 5 tells us, Christian life is a feast. We are keeping the faith. Keeping the faith with what? With unleavened bread. And the unleavened bread is Christ. We are now keeping a feast. A feast is not to work, it's to eat, it's to enjoy, it's to rest, and to get satisfaction. All these should be just Christ. So Paul says that he was graced to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. You think about it. Then he says, the grace of Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Spirit be yours. And what is this? This is just enjoyment. And the result of this enjoyment is satisfaction. And then the issue is rest. Grace of Christ, love of God, fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours. But sorry to say, out of 100 Christians, hard to find 10. Are all the day long enjoying the grace of Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit. Now, where are we?
Where are we? That's a good question, isn't it, Ed? He really brought out a good point there at the end that not very many Christians are enjoying the Jubilee like God really intended it. And I pray today that there's many listeners who are out there listening who are needy. They're in a place they need to hear this. And it's not a bell that's ringing, but actually in the Old Testament, it was a trumpet. It was a silver trumpet. And we're here blowing a silver trumpet, so to speak, of this good news that people don't have to be in need. The Lord is here to meet their need and really to set them free. What can you say, Ed, to help some of those ones in need right now?
Well, Matt, I hope we can have some practical fellowship on this portion. I think it's very critical. You know, with the prodigal son is a picture of what happened to us when we were initially saved by the Lord, when we returned to him. Of course, one of the things the father did with the prodigal son is he put the best robe on him. And that signifies Christ as our righteousness. To cover us. And we received Christ as our righteousness when we got saved. But also what the Father said, he said, kill the fattened calf and let us eat and be merry. So this shows that what God the Father wants us to do is to feast on Christ, to enjoy Christ. And Matt, when we first got saved, although we may not have had the term enjoy Christ, most of us did enjoy Christ. We were so happy. We were in the Jubilee. We had liberty, freedom. We had the rest in Christ, the enjoyment. We were satisfied in Christ. The tragedy is that after many years of being a Christian, we may not have maintained our enjoyment of Christ. And that's why 1 Corinthians 5 is very critical. It tells us to keep the feast. And this is the feast of unleavened bread. The unleavened bread is Christ himself. He's unleavened. He has no sin. He's absolutely pure. He's without mixture, and he's full of reality. And we need to feast on him day by day. We need to maintain our joy in the Christian life. You know, Matt, I would just like to mention this practically. You know, the Lord in John 6, he tells us to eat him. In verse 57, he says, he who eats me, even he shall live because of me. Of course, John 6 shows us that many of his disciples didn't understand this word, and they left because of it. But if you read John 6, the Lord wasn't talking about eating him physically. He was talking about our need to eat him as our spiritual food, our spiritual life supply. So in verse 63, he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So the way that we as Christians can eat the Lord, can feast on the Lord, can maintain our joy is we need to get into the Lord's word. His word is the embodiment of spirit and life for us to enjoy. And Matt, you know, Jeremiah 15:16, in that verse, Jeremiah says, your words were found and I ate them. The way to eat the Lord as our spiritual food is to eat his word. How can we eat his word? Well, the way to eat his word practically is we need to take the Bible and read it by praying over it, by using it as a prayer book. To me, this is a great secret to maintaining our joy and satisfaction in the Christian life. The first thing we do when we get up in the morning is we need to have a time with the Lord. We need to open the Word and read the Word prayerfully. Read the Word with prayer. Personalize the Word and make it our prayer to the Lord. This is the way that we can enjoy Him as our feast, and we can maintain our enjoyment of Him as the Jubilee.
Ed, this is a very necessary word. I just have the sense as you're speaking, this is the word that a lot of needy, hungry people need to hear who are out there in bondage. And this is a real freeing word to enter into the Lord in a practical way, to enjoy Him every morning in the Word. I know as you're speaking, I even feel convicted. I need more of this myself to be more free and enter into this Jubilee in a fuller way.
Yeah, Matt, let me just say something here just as an illustration. You know, we read those verses from Luke 4, where the Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. You might be reading that and you could say, Lord, I don't want to be poor in you. I want to enjoy you in all your riches. You see, you turn that word into a prayer. Then it says to open the eyes of the blind. You could say, Lord, open my eyes. I want to see you in a new way today. Grant me a spirit of wisdom and revelation that I might see you. And where it says to release the captives, you can pray, Lord, I don't want to be under the captivity of Satan today. Release me from all the bondage of sin. See, you can personalize that word. You can use it as your prayer. And then the Lord becomes your food, and His word becomes a real joy to you.
That's a real good example of praying and reading. You know, you sometimes hear this word, pray, read the Bible. This is what it is to pray, read the Bible. And I'm really happy now in the life study. In the next portion here, we're going to move on to a portion in Acts 16 where they weren't pray reading, but they were pray singing. In Acts 16, it says, and about midnight, Paul and Silas, while praying, sang hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and instantly all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. What a great way to handle a prison situation. For all those who are out there in prison today, I hope they're enheartened by the example of Paul and Silas. Let's go on to this portion with Witness Lee.
Suffering is a real hard job. Actually, in the Jubilee, when we are enjoying God, there should be no suffering. Paul was under the suffering of his throne, right? He prayed three times, begging, entreating the Lord to take away the thorn. He was suffering there. But the Lord told him, no, my grace is sufficient. If you enjoy me, you don't have suffering. On Acts 16, in that chapter, Paul and Silas were put into prison. Imprisonment should be real suffering. But Paul and Silas were not there suffering. What were they doing there? Jubilee!
Amen.
Enjoying, right? They were singing and praising.
Amen.
No suffering. If we feel under any kind of environment we are suffering, that means we still love a lot of things other than God. If we love God solely, uniquely, wholly, and entirely, nothing beside God is dividing our love. If we love God to such an extent, what would bother us? You all have to realize, even we, the seeking Christians, are not living a life of jubilee.
Ed, this is a sobering word. The human life really is full of suffering, and I wonder if you could say a word to help us all, including myself, enter into this life of jubilee that Witness Lee's talking about.
Well, Matt, you know, if you look at human life and you consider human life apart from Christ, it's a life of laboring, worrying, dreaming, and suffering. And what I mean by dreaming is people dream. They have expectations of things, and it doesn't turn out the way they hoped it would, and so they're disappointed. So human life apart from Christ is really a terrible situation. But once Christ comes into us, we can be freed from labor, worry, dreaming, suffering, even the suffering in our environment. The Lord may not take it away, but we can enjoy Him in the midst of that suffering. Just like Paul and Silas did, you read the verses. They were praying and they were singing. And again, I'd like to be very practical here. If we're going to maintain our enjoyment of Christ in the midst of maybe some of our listeners out there right now, Matt, you said this, they might be in some kind of prison, maybe not a physical prison, but just a prison of depression and darkness. Well, you can pray. And what does it mean to pray? To pray is to talk to the Lord. You know, in Philippians 4, 7 through 8, it tells us, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known to God." Well, what these verses are telling us, how can we not be anxious? You know, anxiety is with all of us. The way we can conquer anxiety, the way anxiety can be swallowed up, is by our talking to the Lord, telling the Lord even what our anxiety is, and saying, "Lord, I need you." Have intimate and personal conversations with the Lord. When we talk with the Lord like this, then He comes into us as the peace of God. And the anxiety is all swallowed up. I'm so thankful that we can talk to Him. That's number one. Number two, we need to sing, just like they did. You know, Ephesians 5, 18 through 19, it says, "Be filled in spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord." So singing is a wonderful way to be filled in spirit. You don't have to be in the choir to sing. You don't have to have a good voice to sing. The Psalms tells us to make a joyful noise to the Lord. So we just need to sing. If you have a hymn book, some of the hymns, it's good to sing in your time with the Lord, to sing a song to the Lord. That is a wonderful way to be filled in spirit and to maintain our joy. I'd just like to mention these two things, very practical. So we have the Word, we are praying, and we have singing in order to stay in the jubilee.
Well, in this last section, we've covered the matter of not loving the Lord and loving other things, and that was a problem. And that's one of the reasons we don't enjoy the jubilee. And in this next section, Witness Lee's going to talk about loving the Lord on a positive side to enter into the jubilee. Let's join him now for our final section on the jubilee.
I love my God. Amen. He is my portion. He is my person, not my son, not my children, not my grandchildren, not my wife, neither my husband. Nothing. House, good car, good job, the best promotion, the top salary, nothing. Anything regardless how good it is, it's not a rest, only God. So the life of jubilee is merely the life of God. See, alive, living God is the jubilee life. Amen. How about this?
Amen.
We need this jubilee. The gospel rook leads us into this life. The man savior, he saves us from the bondage into the jubilee. And the entire New Testament teaching of the Christian life is a teaching of jubilee. And I must tell you, when the kingdom comes, that will be a bigger jubilee. And when the new heaven, new earth come, that we will be in the new Jerusalem, that will be the top jubilee, the biggest jubilee. In eternity, we will enjoy our God as our rest, as our enjoyment, and as our satisfaction. Today, we must have a foretaste. All the day long, we enjoy God as our rest. We don't struggle. We don't have an anxiety. God has satisfied me. And even under the hardest situation, I still enjoy Him. Hallelujah. Oh, the grace of Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit be yours. This Jubilee and this the feast.
Ed, this really sounds like heaven on earth. It reminds me of that verse in Hebrews that said we can have a taste of the age to come. This is really the top Jubilee, and your final comments today.
I'd like to say something practical again. We've talked about how we can remain in the Jubilee, number one, by getting into God's Word. And then we can pray. We can talk to the Lord in an intimate way. We can sing to the Lord. This brings us to the last point, which Brother Lee mentioned. We need to love the Lord. Every day, we need to love Him. You know, there's two books in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs. In Ecclesiastes, it begins, "Vanity of vanities." This book talks about the human life full of trouble, labor, anxiety, sorrow, suffering. It's just empty, vain. But then the next book is entitled the Song of Songs. So you have "Vanity of vanities," or you can have "Song of Songs." And what does Song of Songs talk about? It talks about a life of loving the Lord, of pursuing Him, of loving Him. And I would just like to tell our listeners, we all need to build up a habit of telling the Lord repeatedly throughout the day, "Lord Jesus, I love you." Even I would encourage you right now, if you're in your car, you're in your kitchen, no matter where you are, you just say this with me, with your whole heart to the Lord, "Lord Jesus, I love you." We should tell the Lord that 100 times throughout the day. And Matt's Song of Songs is really something. It shows us that we need to have a personal and affectionate relationship with the Lord. In chapter 1 of this book, verses 2 through 4, the seeker asks the Lord, she says, "Draw me and we will run after you." You see, this is personal. Draw me. We should pray, "Lord, draw me to yourself." And the seeker also says to the Lord, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." We should be those who kiss the Lord and allow the Lord to kiss us. What does that mean? It means we need to have the most intimate, affectionate contact with Him.
Well, Ed, our time's up. Special time we've had with you today. And thank you very much for being with us. This is Matt Miller. Thanks for joining us today on Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee.